All right, so I have a technical thing that I'm waiting on, and I cannot do anything until it resolves itself, so I thought I'd go ahead and make this recording. The first thing that I want to say is that I'm impressed by how well the men in this dimension have taken my poking and prodding the last 2 months. Normally, I don't get involved with things that resemble social movements, because they go down blind alleys, and then when you point that out to them, the re is really real, and it sums up to wasted years and opportunities. But when it comes to dealing with MGTOW, there's been much better reception than I anticipated. And even though the votes aren't unanimous, and even though some of the thought processes are theoretical, overall, the men here seem open to critical analysis and critical thinking, which is a huge leap from the average person. Having said that, there's one more thing that I want to push on, which is the purpose of this video, and then I will likely be satisfied. P.S. Yes, I am trying to sneak in some philosophic videos before completely hanging it up at YouTube, as it was occurring to me that it was going to eat me if certain things were not put on the record. So I've been observing a number of things in the MGTOW sphere. I've seen people wrangle with the question of if a married man can be MGTOW, and then I've seen self-declared purple pill men teasing MGTOWs for inconsistency, etc. And if you're listening to this at some point in the future and lack context, the purple pill was meant as a pejorative slur to men who are woke to the hazards of the situation of men in general, but proceeded to do tactically foolish things anyway. And if you're wondering why the hell someone would self-identify as a pejorative slur, I do have a hypothesis of what led to that, and I will detail that in this video. So I'm going to lead with the conclusion, and then go back and apply the rigor in the thought processes so that you can see how I made the leap. So, I do in fact think that a married man can be MGTOW. It's going to sound like nails on a chalkboard to many men here, and with the way I've been poking at the narrative the last couple months, they might even be ready to conclude that I'm here to destroy the whole damn thing. Now normally, I feel like others should step to the plate and apply the mental rigor so that I'm not saddled with doing it all the time. But in this specific case, especially with everything that hangs in the balance, the tactical threats that men face and so on, I do actually want to explain myself on this one. Okay, so in their most basic forms, the MRA represents centralized resistance, and MGTOW represents decentralized resistance. Centralization is worse than socialism by admission of the socialists themselves, who admitted it was so defective that the only way socialism could work is in a decentralized form, so decentralized socialism. And almost instinctively, men realized that a centralized fight was futile, and men knowing that they're the pillars who hold society up, arrived at the conclusion that they, as the pillars, should stop supporting the system, so walk away and let the system cave. In other words, decentralized resistance. Resistance to the menace, which is centralization. And the way you effectively fight centralization is decentralization. So this all logically follows. Now what has dawned on me is that decentralized resistance to the system at some point got shifted to decentralized resistance to women. And I think this has led directly to people defining MGTOW by relationship status rather than by what they're doing to resist the system in a decentralized way. Redshift is on the record saying it's not women, it's the government. TFM is on the record saying that women have always been this way, it's not the women, it's the system. And I'm on the record saying the system is a menace because it's centralized. And that shouldn't be a hard sell given that MGTOW exists as a direct result of the futility of the MRA fighting centralization with centralization. And a rather potent point came up in my previous video that the issue with gynocentrism is not the gyno, it's the centrism. So even in the words we use, the hazard of centralization is reflected. Now one of the primary ways that the system uses force is through and or by way of women. So naturally, awareness to this risk and the strategic and tactical handling of this risk make up the dominant portion of the discussion. Now I'm not opposed to the inclusion or focus there in regard to wise tactics and strategy. But I am opposed to defining MGTOW by those tactics or strategies. So let me break down why I'm opposed to defining MGTOW by tactics or strategy. I want to go through this rather meticulously and hopefully I won't miss anything. So normally the top-down approach that's applied here, if you don't want to get tossed around like a leaf in the wind, is that philosophy guides strategy and strategy guides tactics. Now the way in which I personally separate if something is a strategy slash tactic versus a philosophy is if it's producing razors that are context agnostic or not. So you might call this my philosophic razor for identifying philosophies. So to give you a quick example, in engineering, there's a razor that states, things should be made as simple as possible, but no simpler. And this razor applies and works across all dimensions of engineering. It works in the construction of buildings, and it works in computer science. In other words, it works regardless of context. And then once context is added in, that's where the strategy and or tactics appear. So for instance, if you're going to construct a building that sits near the ocean, you're going to have to apply the proper strategy and tactics for that specific context while still trying to apply the razor. For example, how do we handle the dynamics of the ocean being right there in a way that's as simple as possible without overdoing it? So this brings me back to MGTOW. Is MGTOW a philosophy, or should it be demoted to strategy/tactics for the given context that we find ourselves in? Well, if we stick to the original form, which is decentralized resistance, it's easy to see that centralization is an ever-present threat pervading all contexts through all of human history. So one could apply a simple philosophic razor that a tendency toward centralization is a tendency toward disaster, and a tendency toward decentralization is a tendency toward the cure. And if MGTOW were kept to the definition of decentralized resistance, then it would rise to the level of philosophy capable of withstanding the test of time. Pursuant to the recognition that centralization is a pervasive threat through all of human history, and vigilance and decentralization need be maintained. And given that human civilizations rise and fall on the backs of men, the acronym would hold. But the moment we shift it to strategy and tactics, and to just avoiding women until society collapses, and then we can rebuild, or MGTOW is only supposed to last that long, the awareness of the threat of centralization gets lost, and MGTOW loses its status as a philosophy, at which point it would be merely a strategy/tactic, perhaps guided by some philosophic elements of the red pill. And there are a number of reasons this demotion rustles me, which you may be able to infer from my tone, and I'm going to attempt to articulate some of the side effects of this slippery slope. So the first element that upsets me about this is that if the threat of centralization is lost in the minds of men, such that their sole focus seems to pivot around things like the female vote, then I do have legitimate concerns about this idea that MGTOW should only last as long as it takes for civilization to collapse and then we can rebuild. Because if the risk of centralization is not pressed into the minds of men, then they would rebuild another centralized menace like the one we're trying to crawl out from under now. That is, we removed our support from the centralized menace, thereby destroying it. Let's build another one. And the next reason I don't like this demotion of MGTOW to strategy/tactic is because of where it leads to next. The next stage in this slippery slope is to define MGTOW as a lifestyle choice, because at that point we could be defining MGTOW as men who buy oak tables. I mean, those oak tables in your house are nice and masculine, therefore you meet the requirement for the lifestyle choice, and the only other requirement is that your curtains shouldn't be pink. And this demotion to it simply being a lifestyle choice loses all sense of resistance whatsoever. And I think this is what we're seeing with the self-declared purple pill. It starts entering into the minds of men that if MGTOW is a lifestyle choice, then what makes your lifestyle choice better than their lifestyle choice? I mean, you like Wrigley's and I can like spearmint. What says one flavor's better than another? And pretty soon everyone's trying to debate the merits of flavors of gum, and nobody's uttering a word about resistance anymore. And when you add this to the selfish/narcissistic element that I've said has been entering into the MGTOW narrative, where you only do for yourself and others be damned, then you could see how these men get to this point cognitively. It's just a lifestyle choice and you're using knowledge for your own selfish ends. Why shouldn't they use the knowledge to their own selfish ends in their own way? So the primary reason I'm making this video is to try and re-elevate MGTOW to the level of a philosophy that's context agnostic per the razor that I use to determine if something is operating as a philosophy or not. I want to be clear that this is not an edict, and I want the primary thrust of this video to be about separating the philosophic from the strategic and tactical, and to point to the slippery slope trend as an explanation for the behavior that we're seeing in other men. Okay, so this brings me back to the married men and if they can be MGTOW. The primary thrust of why it's claimed that a married man cannot be MGTOW is because the man is compromised tactically/strategically. And the reason I disagree with this as a litmus test is because it casts aside any other way in which the man might be resisting the system in a decentralized way. This is why I think that asking a man what he's doing to resist the system in a decentralized way is a better litmus test than making a knee-jerk conclusion based upon if he's married or not. For example, both of the original MGTOW founders, as far as I know, were married, and we have present-day men that identify as MGTOW who are also married. But in many of their cases, the contexts were different, so they were married in the East, or they were married 20 years ago, and they couldn't rightly encourage people to do the same based on the context of today. And this effectively demonstrates the hazard of trying to define MGTOW this way. Now you'd have to add in qualifiers to allow it based on certain contexts, or it works in one time period yet not another, and it becomes clear that it's not meeting a philosophic standard if the definition breaks based upon the context of time or location. So something I'm going to be met with is that if a man makes tactically stupid decisions, knowing in advance that they're tactically stupid, this challenges the idea that they have a philosophic understanding of the hazards of a centralized system, and therefore they cannot meet the definition of MGTOW, because anyone with a strong philosophic understanding wouldn't take such stupid strategic or tactical risks. And my objection to this line of thinking is that it excludes any other ways in which this man might be resisting the system. And I think the hazard here can be made clear by the way of demonstration. So right now, at this very moment, and effectively all year long, the MGTOW content creators have been normalizing the idea that BitChute is a friendly, safe location that will help to preserve the body of work herein, such that it won't be lost to future generations. And I have detailed before, with the help of my partner, MGTOW Monger, that this area is under the exclusive jurisdiction of the United Kingdom. In other words, they're normalizing the idea that the body of work will be safe and preserved for future generations under the exclusive jurisdiction of the Queen of the United Kingdom, who is a figurehead of a monarchy, which is a centralized structure that is so terrible that the colonies of America needed to have a revolution and establish a codified, decentralized structure to buck the horrors of it. And when the company is pressed on the issue of how they plan to handle interference from government, the response has been, "We'll deal with it when it happens," which translated means, "We have no plan whatsoever." Now, by all metrics, this is completely and utterly tactically ridiculous. So much so that my frustration with it has had me tongue-tied on the microphone to such an extent where people may not be sure if I'm right or just a rambling madman. So if we were to define men as MGTOW based upon tactical wisdom, then all authors which have been normalizing the idea of tactical foolishness to this scale would fail to meet the definition, and any other gains or contributions they were making to resist the system would have to be excluded, just as the gains or contributions of married men would have to be excluded because they were tactically compromised or behaved in a tactically foolish way. Now, as I said prior in this video, I'm opposed to this definition. I'm opposed to defining MGTOW by strategy or tactics and would like to re-elevate it to level of philosophy, just like I'm opposed to the idea of excluding contributions of resistance based upon if a man is married or not. And this leads me back to the conclusion that I began with, in that I believe that a married man can be MGTOW, because I consider it obvious from preponderance of the evidence that this litmus test has proven unreliable, and a litmus test of asking men what they're doing to resist the system in a decentralized way rises to the level of the philosophic and can withstand the test of time, in large part due to the fact that it would be context agnostic. Now, hopefully this will help open some doors in some people's minds, as these points weren't immediately obvious to me either. I'm also sort of hoping I won't be met with a flood of comments about how I'm normalizing the risk of marriage, as re-elevating MGTOW to the level of a philosophy which can withstand time would allow it the latitude to include all of the strategic and tactical arguments and data of any context for any time period. So in fact, it broadens the scope of information which can be included for risk awareness. It does not narrow it. Further, and I think this needs to be pointed out, if it weren't gynocentrism that we were contending with in the context of our time, it would be some other form of centrism. So by broadening the scope, it allows perpetual resistance to all forms of centrism which humans seem to perpetually trend toward. And now, by method of centralized vote, you get to determine if I be burnt at the stake for heresy. You will find the voting buttons below, and make sure to sharpen the pitchforks for a good measure. That is all, gentlemen, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.